Section 1. Listening. This section of the test has three parts. You will hear three recordings which you will listen to twice. While listening, answer the questions in the appropriate part of the test. Follow the instructions. When answering questions in the first and second parts, use the answer sheet labelled with a cross. When answering questions in the third part, use the answer sheet labelled with a pen. Now prepare the answer sheet labelled with a cross. Part 1. You will hear the first recording. For the following statements, 1 to 7, choose only one correct answer. Mark your answers on the answer sheet labelled with a cross. Now you have 2 minutes to read the tasks. Now listen to part one. Nigerian-born and London-bred, Izu Ani is known as the dynamic chef behind some of the world's most exciting restaurant projects. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
For me, cooking is a way of expressing your happiness and sharing it with others. It is a philosophy, a principle, the way you see life and how you eat. Those who underestimate their food underestimate the essence of life. After my studies, I gained as much experience as I could. In my early career, I spent a lot of time in France and absorbed everything I could about the culture and cuisine. It is where I met my wife, and it gave me a wider spectrum of knowledge and understanding. From there, I traveled to Spain and offered my services at the Mugaritz, one of the world's best restaurants. By working for free, I earned more than I ever expected and learned more than I could have imagined.
Where are you today, professionally, and what got you here?
I moved to Dubai in 2010 when I was part of the opening team for a large international restaurant chain. I had the opportunity to experience real creative freedom and work on my own homegrown concepts. Over the past few years, we have focused on showcasing our restaurants to the world. We first opened Gaia, which pays tribute to Greek cuisine, in Monaco. And we have just opened a French-style restaurant, Le Maison Ani, in Knightsbridge, London.
What, or who, inspired you to become a chef?
My mother. I remember her being so proud of everything I made, and nothing makes me happier than seeing a smile on her face after tasting my food. One of the greatest lessons she ever taught me is to show up every day, to keep going and keep working hard toward my dreams. My idol in so many ways, she leads by example and showed me how to make things happen instead of waiting for things to change.
What's your signature dish?
Every single dish in our restaurant has a different element that I love, but cheesecake is my signature dessert. I like to create a different variation tailored to suit each restaurant and the guests that dine there. In Gaia, for example, the Gaia cheesecake is served on a bed of hazelnut crumble with caramelized apple, whereas in Le Maison Annie, we serve a cheesecake with a selection of toppings, including caramel, coffee, pistachio, berries, and passion fruit, for guests to enjoy to their preference. My personal favorite is passion fruit, as the sharp, sweet flavors are enhanced by the beautiful, creamy texture.
How do you go about menu planning?
When developing a new menu, I always start with the inspiration. I ask myself, who is this dish for? Why are we creating it? And how and when will it be enjoyed? My team and I work very closely on new ideas, blending different flavors and ingredients, sourcing the best produce to test and try until we find the sweet spot. I am so inspired by the ever-changing seasonality of food and how even the same ingredients change in taste throughout the year and around the world. This allows me to adapt new learnings and techniques into our menus and aim to offer something new to our guests.
What do your future plans involve?
We have some really exciting plans for the rest of the year and next year, and I feel so grateful to be able to open our concepts internationally across Europe, the Middle East, and the U.S. While expansion is a key focus, it is also vital to maintain our values and quality. Cooking is about creating harmony on a plate and making the most of each ingredient. It takes a lot of care to ensure excellence and consistency in every country.
Now listen again. Nigerian-born and London-bred, Izu Ani is known as the dynamic chef behind some of the world's most exciting restaurant projects. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
For me, cooking is a way of expressing your happiness and sharing it with others. It is a philosophy, a principle, the way you see life and how you eat. Those who underestimate their food underestimate the essence of life. After my studies, I gained as much experience as I could. In my early career, I spent a lot of time in France and absorbed everything I could about the culture and cuisine. It is where I met my wife, and it gave me a wider spectrum of knowledge and understanding. From there, I traveled to Spain and offered my services at the Mugaritz, one of the world's best restaurants. By working for free, I earned more than I ever expected and learned more than I could have imagined.
Where are you today, professionally, and what got you here?
I moved to Dubai in 2010 when I was part of the opening team for a large international restaurant chain. I had the opportunity to experience real creative freedom and work on my own homegrown concepts. Over the past few years, we have focused on showcasing our restaurants to the world. We first opened Gaia, which pays tribute to Greek cuisine, in Monaco, and we have just opened a French-style restaurant, Le Maison Annie, in Knightsbridge, London.
What, or who, inspired you to become a chef?
My mother. I remember her being so proud of everything I made, and nothing makes me happier than seeing a smile on her face after tasting my food. One of the greatest lessons she ever taught me is to show up every day, to keep going and keep working hard toward my dreams. My idol in so many ways, she leads by example and showed me how to make things happen instead of waiting for things to change.
What's your signature dish?
Every single dish in our restaurant has a different element that I love, but cheesecake is my signature dessert. I like to create a different variation tailored to suit each restaurant and the guests that dine there. In Gaia, for example, the Gaia cheesecake is served on a bed of hazelnut crumble with caramelized apple, whereas in Le Maison Annie, We serve a cheesecake with a selection of toppings, including caramel, coffee, pistachio, berries, and passion fruit, for guests to enjoy to their preference. My personal favorite is passion fruit, as the sharp, sweet flavors are enhanced by the beautiful, creamy texture.
How do you go about menu planning?
When developing a new menu, I always start with the inspiration. I ask myself, who is this dish for? Why are we creating it? And how and when will it be enjoyed? My team and I work very closely on new ideas, blending different flavors and ingredients, sourcing the best produce to test and try until we find the sweet spot. I am so inspired by the ever-changing seasonality of food and how even the same ingredients change in taste throughout the year and around the world. This allows me to adapt new learnings and techniques into our menus and aim to offer something new to our guests.
What do your future plans involve?
We have some really exciting plans for the rest of the year and next year, and I feel so grateful to be able to open our concepts internationally across Europe, the Middle East, and the US. While expansion is a key focus, it is also vital to maintain our values and quality. Cooking is about creating harmony on a plate and making the most of each ingredient. It takes a lot of care to ensure excellence and consistency in every country.
Now you have 30 more seconds to complete the tasks. Part 2. You will hear the second recording. For questions 8 to 13, decide whether the statements are true, A, false, B, or whether the information was not given, C. Mark your answers on the answer sheet labelled with a cross. Now you have 2 minutes to read the tasks. Now listen to part 2. Deborah Hinde is an illustrator from New Zealand, and her most recent title is Enough, a story about community. She tells us more about a day in her life.
My day is split between the simple routines of running a small business, illustrating picture books for my own company, Picture Book Publishing, and for other authors and publishers, and working on products that I sell online and at the regular local markets. Then there's the monthly newsletter with downloads for the kids. My partner, Mark, works part-time in the business too, doing the accounts, attending markets, and helping where he can. Over the last couple years, due to overwork, I've slowly reduced the amount of time I spend in the studio. I now ease myself into my working day, which has made it a 9-to-5 job, rather than the 7 days, 10 hours a day job that it used to be. I also make sure I go for a walk every day, either on our neighbor's farm or along the road. I find this helps me keep positive in what can be a difficult industry to work in. My studio is a converted double garage not far from the house, with garden and rolling countryside views. We often have pheasants, hares, hedgehogs, and rabbits, plus a multitude of birds enjoying the garden. Deer have also been spotted in the neighboring field. My surroundings often provide great inspiration for my characters. Illustrating picture books for me is like a puzzle. The images need to extend beyond the words and add emotion to the story. I love the challenge. I love that I get to decide where in the world the story is located, who the characters are, how they look, and what they wear. The book titled Enough, A Story About Community, is one of the several picture books I have worked on so far this year. I usually start each project with basic sketches in a sketchbook. These sketches are quite abstract, almost like a code that only I can break. Sketching them at this size and simplicity, I'm not distracted by detail and can focus on the flow of the story from page to page. The street scenes in the book naturally lend themselves to being a pause between the other pages where the main character, Hannah, is super busy, helping everyone. The idea of linking Hannah's busyness to the more static scenes with curves didn't come to me until I was working on a spread where she finally runs to get help. I wanted to show the stress she was feeling at the end of the page, the feeling that whatever she did wasn't quite enough. With this book, I gave each person a little backstory, that they were married to so-and-so and lived in the two-story house or the greenhouse on the left, etc. I started with Hannah and her family before tackling a couple of other members of the community, always keeping in mind that we need a mix of ages and ethnicities. Once me and Hannah were both happy with how the characters looked, I was able to start work on the full-size rough copies.
Now listen again. Deborah Hinde is an illustrator from New Zealand, and her most recent title is Enough, A Story About Community. She tells us more about a day in her life.
My day is split between the simple routines of running a small business, illustrating picture books for my own company, Picture Book Publishing, and for other authors and publishers, and working on products that I sell online and at the regular local markets. Then there's the monthly newsletter with downloads for the kids. My partner, Mark, works part-time in the business too, doing the accounts, attending markets, and helping where he can. Over the last couple years, due to overwork, I've slowly reduced the amount of time I spend in the studio. I now ease myself into my working day, which has made it a 9-to-5 job, rather than the 7 days, 10 hours a day job that it used to be. I also make sure I go for a walk every day, either on our neighbor's farm or along the road. I find this helps me keep positive in what can be a difficult industry to work in. My studio is a converted double garage not far from the house, with garden and rolling countryside views. We often have pheasants, hares, hedgehogs, and rabbits, plus a multitude of birds enjoying the garden. Deer have also been spotted in the neighboring field. My surroundings often provide great inspiration for my characters. Illustrating picture books for me is like a puzzle. The images need to extend beyond the words and add emotion to the story. I love the challenge. I love that I get to decide where in the world the story is located, who the characters are, how they look, and what they wear. The book titled Enough, A Story About Community, is one of the several picture books I have worked on so far this year. I usually start each project with basic sketches in a sketchbook. These sketches are quite abstract, almost like a code that only I can break. Sketching them at this size and simplicity, I'm not distracted by detail and can focus on the flow of the story from page to page. The street scenes in the book naturally lend themselves to being a pause between the other pages where the main character, Hannah, is super busy, helping everyone. The idea of linking Hannah's busyness to the more static scenes with curves didn't come to me until I was working on a spread where she finally runs to get help. I wanted to show the stress she was feeling at the end of the page, the feeling that whatever she did wasn't quite enough. With this book, I gave each person a little backstory, that they were married to so-and-so and lived in the two-story house or the greenhouse on the left, etc. I started with Hannah and her family before tackling a couple of other members of the community, always keeping in mind that we need a mix of ages and ethnicities. Once me and Hannah were both happy with how the characters looked, I was able to start work on the full-size rough copies.
Now you have 30 more seconds to complete the tasks. Now look at part 3. For part 3, you will need the answer sheet labelled with a pen. Please find and prepare it. Part 3. You will hear the third recording. Below, you can read summaries of the information numbered 14 to 20, which are in the wrong order. Indicate the order in which you hear the information by writing a number 1 to 6 next to the number that represents that information. Be careful, there is one extra summary. Put X next to the number that represents extra information. Write your answers on the answer sheet labelled with a pen. Now you have 2 minutes to read the tasks. Now listen to part 3.
Wherever human interactions exist, there is a potential for conflicts to arise. Because we are all individuals with differing personalities, needs, experiences, values, and perceptions, we are unlikely to see things the same way all of the time. Here are 6 rules for managing conflict in everyday life. Rule number 1. Conflicts can only be managed when both or all participants are calm enough to discuss the issues reasonably. Anger only makes things worse. If you find yourself becoming angry, it is best to take a step back, both physically and emotionally. Actually, step back from the person and put a little space between you. This in itself can help you to start to feel calmer. Take a deep breath. Count to 10. If you're still experiencing the physical energy that anger creates, say, "I'm too upset to talk about this right now. I need to cool down." Don't use this as an excuse to get rid of the issue, but do go back and continue the discussion when you are calm. Rule number 2. Avoid unsupported beliefs. Don't believe you know what the other person is thinking. Avoid formulating your response and just listen. Try to see the issue from the other person's standpoint. This is not the same as giving in or just letting them have their way. Seeing the issue from another person's standpoint can help you both to work through the issue. Lack of willingness to see his or her point can make you seem like a bully. Rule number 3. Though it's important that everyone knows who is in charge, it's also important for everyone to feel a valued part of the whole, whether it be families or workplaces. A parent who says, "You will do this because I said so," is being autocratic, which is often ineffective in helping a child develop self-discipline. A boss who does the same thing is often seen as a tyrant. It sounds like, "I win, you lose." Even though a person who uses this approach may believe it makes them look powerful, it often leads to disrespect instead. Rule number 4. Conflict doesn't need to be a negative influence on a family or work situation. It can be productive and can result in vast improvements and creative solutions. Some people see human relationships as extremely delicate and fear taking a stand will lose them the relationship or the job. This sounds like, "I lose, you win." Those who take a back seat to the needs and interests of others often deny themselves. This can even lead to inviting others to take further advantage of them. Rule number 5. Sometimes a situation looks different and a little easier to understand when it is put on paper. Draw a diagram of it. This could involve various circles that indicate what if. What would happen if we did this? List pros and cons. Though putting it all on paper may seem a little formal for some situations, it can be extremely effective in reducing conflicts between personalities. It can also help avoid accusations. Rule number 6. For successful conflict management, everyone can work toward communicating well and being willing to consider options. The results can be a combination of the needs, wants, and goals of each person involved. When this "I win, you win" approach is taken, the outcome is satisfaction because everyone is considered. This can be accomplished by focusing on the issue, not on personalities and problems. By aiming toward a positive outcome for all, the solution provides a step up in the relationship or business, not a hole which will need mending later.
Now listen again.
Wherever human interactions exist, there is a potential for conflicts to arise. Because we are all individuals with differing personalities, needs, experiences, values, and perceptions, we are unlikely to see things the same way all of the time. Here are 6 rules for managing conflict in everyday life. Rule number 1. Conflicts can only be managed when both or all participants are calm enough to discuss the issues reasonably. Anger only makes things worse. If you find yourself becoming angry, it is best to take a step back, both physically and emotionally. Actually, step back from the person and put a little space between you. This in itself can help you to start to feel calmer. Take a deep breath. Count to 10. If you're still experiencing the physical energy that anger creates, say, "I'm too upset to talk about this right now. I need to cool down." Don't use this as an excuse to get rid of the issue, but do go back and continue the discussion when you are calm. Rule number two, avoid unsupported beliefs. Don't believe you know what the other person is thinking. Avoid formulating your response and just listen. Try to see the issue from the other person's standpoint. This is not the same as giving in or just letting them have their way. Seeing the issue from another person's standpoint can help you both to work through the issue. Lack of willingness to see his or her point can make you seem like a bully. Rule number three. Though it's important that everyone knows who is in charge, it's also important for everyone to feel a valued part of the whole, whether it be families or workplaces. A parent who says, "You will do this because I said so," is being autocratic, which is often ineffective in helping a child develop self-discipline. A boss who does the same thing is often seen as a tyrant. It sounds like I win, you lose. Even though a person who uses this approach may believe it makes them look powerful, it often leads to disrespect instead. Rule number four. Conflict doesn't need to be a negative influence on a family or work situation. It can be productive and can result in vast improvements and creative solutions. Some people see human relationships as extremely delicate and fear taking a stand will lose them the relationship or the job. This sounds like I lose, you win. Those who take a back seat to the needs and interests of others often deny themselves. This can even lead to inviting others to take further advantage of them. Rule number five. Sometimes a situation looks different and a little easier to understand when it is put on paper. Draw a diagram of it. This could involve various circles that indicate what if. What would happen if we did this? List pros and cons. Though putting it all on paper may seem a little formal for some situations, it can be extremely effective in reducing conflicts between personalities. It can also help avoid accusations. Rule number six. For successful conflict management, everyone can work toward communicating well and being willing to consider options. The results can be a combination of the needs, wants, and goals of each person involved. When this I win, you win approach is taken, the outcome is satisfaction because everyone is considered. This can be accomplished by focusing on the issue, not on personalities and problems. By aiming toward a positive outcome for all, the solution provides a step up in the relationship or business, not a hole which will need mending later.
Now you have 30 more seconds to complete the tasks. The listening section is now over. Please stop working on this section. Now go on to the next sections of the test.